Have farmland values stabilized or are they continuing to climb?
Well, stay tuned to the latest Well-Grounded podcast and find out. This is Randy Conan from the Red River Farm Network.
And this is Jason Menke, farmland and beatstock broker at Acres and Shares.
This podcast brings together experts from the world of agriculture and real estate. We'll talk about farmland values, industry trends, and the economy.
In this edition of Well-Grounded, our guests are Ag Country appraisers Chad Wiggestrand and A.J. Hammond. Chad is a senior appraiser and team lead for Ag Country Farm Credit Services and has been employed with Ag Country Farm Credit Services for the past 16 years and has 26 years of appraisal experience overall. He's a past president of the North Dakota chapter of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers and a current member of the National Appraisal Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers. Wiggestrand graduated from UND in 1994 and received an accredited rural appraiser designation in 2015. Originally from the big city of Buxton, North Dakota, he currently resides in Grand Forks. Chad appraises farmland in northwest Minnesota and covers approximately 11 counties and strives to complete professional appraisals with good reasoning and support to give an estimated value, opinion of value for our association and third-party fee clients. He loves spending time at the lake, spending time with family, and watching sports of all kinds.
A.J. Hammond is a certified general appraiser serving the northeast region of North Dakota. A.J. holds a bachelor's degree in business economics from the University of North Dakota. A.J. has worked for Ag Country Farm Credit Services for more than 8 years and is a primary focus of appraising being agricultural land and buildings. A.J. is also currently serving on the board of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, North Dakota Chapter Board.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Farmland values for the past 2 years in most parts of our region have climbed to record levels. We're recording this in late October of 2023. What are you guys seeing in the market right now as you're appraising properties? Are we continuing to climb or are we starting to stabilize?
I guess I'll start in my area, which is northwest Minnesota. I've kind of seen a plateau. Still very strong sales. Probably in the next few weeks, we'll see if there's going to be another climb in values because I have a few auction sales coming up in that time. But as of now, it seems like it's plateaued a little bit. Not going down at all, but still very strong.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too. I'd call it stable right now, but like Chad said, we're just now getting into the fall sales season. So yeah, could they go up? Possibly, and that wouldn't surprise me.
Are you seeing any exceptions?
No, I would say my valley land is very strong. Get outside of the valley, I would say my sales have slowed down to that type of land, probably a little tougher to get record values, but there's still strong values out there, just not like the valley land that people are, it's always sought after. So,
AJ, how about you and on the North Dakota side?
Same thing with what Chad said, valley land is still strong, and maybe, if anything has went down a little bit, and, take that, don't read into that too much, it'd be getting farther west out of the valley, maybe in the Prairie Pothole region. Some of those values have come down a little bit, but still, historically very strong.
What's driving that?
Partially, I think, I always use town or county as an example. There has been tons and tons of public sales out there. So supply and demand, I guess, would be the easiest answer there. I don't know, just running out of buyers. Although, like I said, the values that they're getting are still strong. So, don't cause for concern.
Yeah, and I kind of see that as not a potential issue, but if there's pockets, my thought heading into, further into the fall sale season is in the pockets that there hasn't been much land for sale publicly, those areas could still continue climbing. But if you get a pocket like town or county or another example like that, where there's been a lot of land for sale, we could see some decrease in values. So part of it just might be supply in specific areas.
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think if you do get in an area where there hasn't been a bid sale or an auction sale for years, there's that pent-up demand, and you could probably see another record just because it's just land that doesn't come up for sale very often. So,
Well, 2022 had record net farm income nationally, and I think in our part of the country, we're just as good as any place. I mean, edible bean crop was good, prices were good. We had, you know, as of now, the 2022 sugar beet crop, we're looking at a record, you know, payment. This year's crop was good. So while 2023, from a farm income standpoint, isn't going to be quite as good, it's still going to be a really good year for farmers. You know, so there's going to be a little bit less money, but, you know, what are you guys seeing? I talked to some lenders here and there, and, you know, interest rates just really don't seem to be having a big impact yet. What are you guys seeing?
I've seen no impact to values as of now with interest rates. It kind of baffles you in a way, just because the cost of purchasing that same land a few years ago is a lot less. But, I mean, if you look at historically, interest rates are still pretty good if you look at a historic basis. So, I mean, I've seen no slowdown in the market, and I really don't anticipate it for probably through the spring for sure. So,
and I sometimes wonder, I mean, and there's no way to quantify this, right? But I sometimes wonder if we still had interest rates that were next to nothing, you know, would this land market even be stronger, because there would be, you know, more people maybe participating at these stronger levels.
At what point then does this change?
You got me.
Yeah, you tell me.
You know, I think it's, we're going to see where the more leveraged buyers, the ones that maybe need to utilize money from the bank, get loans. We're probably not going to see those guys at these auctions too often, but there's still plenty of cash out there that's driving it. So I think it's going to hold its own, probably not as many bidders maybe in the future, just because of interest rates and the lack of being able to get the funding. But other than that, I don't know when it would change.
Cash positions held pretty good then?
Yeah. I think so. I write a newsletter twice a year. I'm just starting to write one that'll get mailed in November. And for the past couple of years, I've been saying, you know, really the cash has been king in farm country. You know, some of these guys are able to $1 million purchase, you know, not a big deal. It's a cash sale. But once that cash position starts getting depleted, I think that's where we'll see those interest rates. But, you know, it just seems like we're not there yet. I mean, this is probably something we talk about for the, you know, 2024, 2025 sale season. It looks like we're in pretty good shape heading from now till spring is my hunch.
Well, there's always the, you know, the old saying, they don't make it anymore, you know, when they talking about land. So if you want it, you're going to figure out how to buy it.
One of the components of an appraisal is a capitalization rate. Could one of you please explain to our listeners what the cap rate is and how it's calculated?
Yeah, I can give a quick rundown of it. So for a cap rate, you take a simple example would be tillable acres. If you had 100 tillable acres and you have a market rate rent of $100, that would give you your gross income. And then you subtract your real estate taxes and subtract a management fee, and that gives you your net operating income. And then you take your net operating income and divide it by the value or the sales price, and that will give you your cap rate.
Just a quick question before we kind of talk about what cap rates are at. You know, for a long time, farm appraisers in our region were using like a 5% management fee. Is that still what you guys use? Or has that changed?
I use 5%. Some use 7%. As long as it's consistent between the sales, it's really, it doesn't matter if you use 5 or 7.
Yeah, I use 5. And yeah, like what Chad said, as long as you're consistent, you know, as far as, you know, because we're not looking at the actual expense, what is the management right. expense, we're just trying to be consistent with the sales, so you could use whatever percentage you want on that.
Sure. So what is a good cap rate on good farmland then?
On the good valley land, your 2%, I would say, is going to hit a lot. I've seen some a little below that, some maybe a tad above that, but 2% for the good stuff.
Go ahead, Jason.
No, how about marginal land?
You might be, still 2% is a pretty good number. I guess the thing with the cap rate too, like what Chad said, we're using, you know, we're deriving that based on cash rents.
Yep.
Well, when values are going up like this, I'm sure cash rents are going up too, but that's something that's held a lot closer to the vest. Somebody said, you know, do we get the best data out there on cash rents? Maybe not. You know, if we're using, you know, Chad's example, he used $100. Is, you know, maybe that's a little low, and maybe there's somebody out there that would pay $150 for that. So therefore, right, your cap rate would go up. So subjective, I guess.
What about CRP?
CRP is probably a little bit higher. I would say I have CRP sales range from 2% to up to 4%. I think if you've seen CRP rates and the contracts in the recent years, they're getting very good rates for that right now. It's causing the cap rates to probably come down a little bit. Used to be probably 10% back in our days, you know.
Yeah,
20 years ago, that was 10% for CRP. It was pretty common.
Yeah, we recorded the podcast last fall, and we kind of talked in 2000. This was the data we were using, was Valley Land was 4 to 6%. Outside of the valley was 6 to 8, and CRP was 8 to 10%. And it's crazy. There's just not much of a difference. And the other thing I was thinking about as we're talking about these rates, you know, I was just looking. I've got a Flex CD that's at like 3.75. So it's kind of interesting. It's, you know, the rate of return on farmland. We've obviously see a lot of appreciation, but just and the short-term money markets, you know, those are pretty attractive when you look at where farmland cap rates are at right now.
Yeah, if you take the appreciation out.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the two of you track sales throughout the region, and we're partway through the fall sales season. What do you get? And you know, probably most of the sales that are coming up the next month are being advertised now. I mean, what's your take on volume? Are we looking at roughly average volume, above average, below average? What do you guys, you know, see as far as sales?
I mean, just without doing any analysis or looking at previous years, you know, what comes to mind is I think above average amount of sales, or at least, you know, potential sales. There could be no sales.
Yep.
But yeah, I see in my area, I see quite a bit advertised as coming up for sale.
I would say in my area, it'd be probably average amount of sales. I would say you get outside of the valley, I would say it's dropped a little bit. I'm not seeing as many sales for that land. Why, I don't know. Maybe just more marginal land, but as far as valley stuff, about average.
Is it mostly local farmers, or is there investors involved, or who's buying the land?
I would say the sales that I'm tracking, the majority would be farmers with a mixture of investors in there. But I would say, you know, I don't know what percentage, but a higher percentage of farmers and investors.
Yeah, I'm seeing it's still mostly farmer operators that are buying it, but at least on the North Dakota side, I'm seeing more investors, or what I'm thinking are investors. You know, when you see that deed recorded, they'll, you know, Nebraska address, or, you know, over there, you know, somewhere in Minnesota. So that leads you to believe that, you know, they're outside investors, which you haven't seen a lot of, but you know, I am now in the last year or two. So
a year ago when we visited, my take on the land market was, you know, there appears to be a good window from now through spring to sell land, you know, based upon some of the factors we've talked about with, you know, with there being a good cash supply in the valley, you know, another pretty decent year. So I think that holds true again for another year. But, you know, what are your guys' thoughts? Kind of, not that we can look out too far in the future, but it certainly looks to be pretty solid for, you know, for the next 3 to 6 months or so.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. For sure through the spring, you know, after that, it's hard to say what's going to happen. I guess we don't even know what's going to happen in the spring either, but I've seen no slowdown, so there's nothing to show me that values are going to start lagging.
Yeah, I'd agree.
How closely does that track farm economy? If the crops out western part of North Dakota this year were unusually good, especially wheat was really good. Does that impact the value out there as much as it or you think it would or not?
How far west you talk?
Well, it's not like in that that Dickinson area or even Bismarck West.
Yeah, I just don't track out there.
Yeah, I know values were strong out there, but I haven't done any, specific. Yeah,
I was just curious.
There,
so. Sometimes too, you get certain areas of the country, like north central Minnesota. All of a sudden, one year has a really good crop year. Do land values spike when that happens or not?
I think so. I mean, we tie in with, commodity prices have dropped, but they're still pretty good. So if you can tie a good crop in and just that extra income for some of those places, I think is pretty important, and you probably see a little bit of extra spike due to that.
And I guess, too, that all follows cash, how strong the cash value is, cash market is.
Yep. Yep. Well, there has to be land for sale in that area, too, if you're getting specific to, this area had a good crop and prices are good. Well, if there isn't any land for sale, it's hard to say what values did.
Yeah, true.
And do you guys do many appraisals on recreational land?
I do some, yeah. I mean, not a lot, and that's increased significantly as well. And obviously that has nothing to do with commodity price or yields or weather or anything. So, why is that market increased? Jeez, I don't know.
Does the size of that parcel make a difference when it's recreational land?
Well, there's only, one came from mine that we were visiting about just a few minutes ago. That's a smaller parcel, but most of the time they're in that, 80 to 160 acres in there. So there isn't a bunch of variation to say, well, the size makes a difference. Chad, you probably see more recreational sales over there in Minnesota. Maybe
yeah,
it's
I've
kind of a mix of...
Got recreational farther east in my territory. It's gotten a lot stronger, but I see sales from 40 acres to 200, 300 acres and... Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of variance as far as value. I think people are just want a spot where they can hunt and call it their own and don't have to worry about getting permission. And I've seen that market in the last 2 years has went up quite a bit.
Kind of what I've told people. So I had a land sale yesterday up in the Pemina Gorge that sold really, really well. And kind of there's some old school thoughts of, well, this should only be worth, X. But I kind of make the comparison to look at how much farmland has climbed in the past couple of years, and recreation has increased probably not at the same pace as farmland. You don't have that same rate of return. But I think it probably has to kind of follow suit with farmland values. One other question that came to mind. Have you guys had many, we kind of talk about this from time to time, have you guys done any recent work on drain tiled land?
I don't see a lot of sales of it. Most of the time, if they're drain tiling it, they're in it for the long haul, so you don't see a ton of sales on them, but we have had some.
Any take? I mean, historically, when we've talked about this, Chad and AJ, we've kind of talked about, for appraisal standpoint, probably taking the appraisal of the land and then adding the cost of drain tile. Is that still kind of follow suit, or is there any appreciation with the drain tile?
No, I haven't seen where you can add the cost of the drain tile to the price of the land. Sales that I've matched up, I've seen where there's a premium paid for it, probably of $600 to $700 maybe an acre over typical dry land that isn't tiled. So
that would more follow productivity, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd follow productivity because it allows you to get on the field a little sooner, allows your crops. It's just a better way to manage water is what it is. So,
well, any additional comments, guys, before we wrap up here?
I don't think so.
Well, thanks to Chad Wiggestrand and AJ Hammond for being part of this conversation. The Well Grounded podcast is a presentation of Acres and Shares and the Red River Farm Network. If you have farmland or beet stock questions, please call me at 218 779-1293.
You can find this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. It's also available at rrfn.com and acresandshares.com. Until next time, I'm Randy Conan.
And I'm Jason Menke.